Once again, my name is Daryl Bass. I'm the senior pastor of Redeeming Love Word Ministries here in High Point, North Carolina. We thank you for taking this time on Resurrection Sunday to tune in and be with us this morning. Well, without any further ado, I'd like to open up in a word of prayer, and we start to look at the Word of God for today. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your tremendous mercy and your grace that you've showered out upon us, your people. Thank you for being with us and keeping us through the night season, allowing us to wake up and see another day. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of serving you. And Lord, may today be a day we open up the scriptures and hear what thus saith the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to step right into the scriptures today. Being that this is Resurrection Sunday, I want to talk to you from the standpoint, six reasons the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so significant. Six reasons the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so significant. I'm saying that because, please forgive me for whatever carnality this may seem to you, but I look at some of the things that Hollywood has produced. There was one point in time as a child growing up, Superman was invincible. Superman was, there's nothing that you could do to stop Superman. Well, in the course of history, they don't kill Superman and raise him back up again. We look at Hollywood now, there's zombies walking around, the walking dead. It is making the resurrection of people look like it's nothing, looking like it has no significance because it's something that man can duplicate, something that man can control or alter or be a part of. You have individuals trying to upload their consciousness into computers and these things to prolong their life. Everybody's looking for some form of eternal life. Well, that's why I want to talk about the six reasons for the resurrection of Jesus Christ being significant. Now, I'm saying his resurrection is significant. Let me tell you why. Now, of course, I hope you have your Bibles with you. Maybe you need something to write with, because I'm going to jot out some scriptures here momentarily to give you an idea, because most people, when you hear resurrection, they only think of one, or at most two or three. Well, I want to give you a couple things here to think about tonight. Well, I'm sorry, today. First off, six reasons the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so significant. Here's something, a bonus. This is not one of the six, but I want to give you something to think about. Jesus was not the first to be resurrected. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 21 and 22. Elijah covers a child three times and the child comes back to life. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. Elijah, he covers a boy and he sneezes. The boy sneezes seven times as he's brought back to life. In 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, they're burying a man and the Moabite clan comes and they throw a man on top of Elijah's grave and the man is resurrected back to life. In Mark chapter 5, verses 35 through 42, a girl is raised from the dead by Jesus. In Luke chapter 7, verse 12 through 15, Jesus stops a funeral procession. There's a widow. She is a widow. She has only one son and he has died. And Jesus stops the procession and raises him from the dead. John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead after he's been dead 4 days. Acts chapter 9, verses 40 and 41. Peter raises Tabitha from the dead. Acts chapter 20, verses 9 through 11. Paul raises Eutychus from the dead after he preached so long that Eutychus fell down and died. Paul said, I got this, and raises him up from the dead. Here's one of my favorite resurrection scriptures. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verses 52 and 53, that the saints went into the city after Jesus' resurrection. But you know, all of these let us know that Jesus was not the first to be resurrected. So what is it that makes Jesus' resurrection so significant? Before I jump into that first one, I want to share something 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he says, "For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." You can only give people what you have. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Ladies and gentlemen, that is the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I just want to make sure that we understand that the resurrection is part of the gospel. You can't preach the beginning and not preach the end. So I wanted you to know that every time you hear the gospel message, you hear of the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me give you what I believe are, these are not the only six. I'm sure there are other ones that can be discovered, but I want to give you six very basic reasons that make the resurrection of Jesus Christ significant. Reason number one, Jesus is the only one that will never die again. Jesus is the only one that will never die again. See, Lazarus died again. See, when everybody that was raised from the dead before dies again. Hebrews 1 and 3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." In other words, Jesus in that same resurrected body is sitting down on the right hand of God right now. Right now. Because he's never going to die again. Hebrews 7 and 25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." You have the opportunity of serving a God who lives forever and is praying for you. See, Jesus is the only one that will never die again. Number two, Jesus is the only one that could fulfill God's righteous standards of living. See, God has a standard of living. That's why the Bible says that we were born into sin. But Hebrews 4 and 15 says this about Jesus. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." So Jesus knows what it's like to go through everything that you're going through. "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." See, Jesus is the only one that could fulfill God's righteous standards of living. And that righteous standard of living had to be without sin. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He has been made, or we have been made the righteousness of God in him, because he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. Amen. Number three, Jesus is the only one that will judge the world. You know, sometimes we feel obligated to please other people and do things that they want us to do and all of this. I submit to you that Jesus is the only one who will judge the world. In Acts 10 and 42, the scripture says, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead." In other words, God ordained Jesus to judge the alive and the dead. So he's the only one that's going to judge the world. So all of those other people that's got us jumping through hoops and want us to do all of this, let's stop and think about who's going to really judge us. Jesus is the only one that will judge the world. In Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, in the New Living Translation, it reads, "God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times." Those things that he overlooked in earlier times was idolatry. It says, "God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him." Verse 31, For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. See, one of the things that makes Jesus' resurrection so significant is it is proof that God has chosen him to judge the world. Oh my goodness. It means that we have an obligation to live right before a holy God. Number four, Jesus is the Son of God. The fourth reason that makes Jesus' resurrection so significant is he is the Son of God. In Matthew 16 and 16, you remember the story. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This was not by flesh and blood, the Bible says, that he received this revelation, but it was by the Heavenly Father who revealed to Peter who Jesus is. And Jesus is the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 54, there are a group of individuals that are around. They're finishing up the crucifixion of Jesus. They've seen astounding things take place. They've seen earthquakes. They've seen rocks split. They've seen all kinds of things. They've seen day become night. And in the midst of this, the Bible says in Matthew 27 and 54, "Now when the centurion, a trained soldier, and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Even the way Jesus died testified of who he is, because he is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" We've looked at four different reasons that make Jesus' resurrection so significant. I want you to really tune in to these next two. Number five, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection were necessary for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. See, Jesus died for real. Well, what do you mean, preacher? See, some people, they come up with all of this foolishness. The reason they buried him is because he was dead. You bury dead people. The burial was an indication that he had actually died. If you read the text, the Bible actually says they rolled a great stone, and they put the stone there to prevent animals and thieves from coming in the tomb and stealing. And they put a seal around the stone itself. That seal was like what we look at the police tape now. It was an actual criminal offense against the king to violate the seal that was in front or that was around the tomb. Because they knew he was dead and wanted to ensure that he stayed that way. And then on top of that, they put soldiers outside of that. Now, to me, in their day and time, they done everything to indicate his death. But see, that's why it was so powerful in his resurrection. Hebrews 10, 4 and 5 says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, 'Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me.'" So God prepared a body for Jesus because it was necessary for him to die for mankind. Let me share something with you right quick. God didn't have to redeem man. Man is not the only fallen creature. The angels also were fallen. So when you read the text and it says he prepared a body, because he prepared a body because in order to redeem man, he had to have a body like man. So God chose to redeem us. He wasn't obligated to redeem us. Hebrews 9 and 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So there's no forgiveness of sins unless the shedding of blood takes place. The scripture, when it's talking about the shedding of blood here, is talking about death. Romans 5, 8 and 10. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, just give me a few moments. In John 3 and 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what am I saying? That Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection were necessary for the forgiveness of our sins. Finally, my sixth reason as I prepare to close. I want you to take this one in. Jesus is the only one that can prevent you and I from being at the great white throne resurrection. You see, I went over all of those previous resurrections, but I left this one out. Go with me to Revelation 20 and 12, and I'll show you why I left this one out. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, the reality is everybody that dies will be resurrected. Everybody that dies will be resurrected. It's just what resurrection you'll be coming to. You see, this is the great white throne judgment. If you notice, the scripture says, and I saw the dead, small and great. This is not the resurrection you want to be a part of. This is the one that you stand before God knowing that you rejected his Son as Lord and Savior. This is the one that you stand before God saying you decided to have your own way and do your own thing and you didn't need a Savior. This is the one you stand before God guilty of having rejected the gift of salvation, deciding to pay the wages for your own sins. This is the resurrection that you will find no believers at, not this one, because believers have already been judged. This is the resurrection for the people who decided they didn't need a Savior. See, I didn't want to do this resurrection because this is the saddest resurrection there is. See, in John chapter 11, when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. See, many of us think, oh, yeah, he is the resurrection. Yeah, okay, I understand it. That day. Well, yes, but there's a resurrection coming for everybody. If you notice, people that were in hell get out. People that were in the sea come back to life. People that are dead come back to life. Look at all of this. But look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, this is why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The goal in life is to be born twice and die once. Let me say that again. The goal is to be born twice and die once. you don't want to experience the second death, because the second death is when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And everybody with it that did not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This is why Jesus' resurrection is so significant. He is the only one that could prevent you from being a part of the second death. God bless you. And again, thank you for tuning in with us on this Resurrection Sunday. May you have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.